Well, all right. Welcome to another episode of
The Stage Dive, the most underrated tag team finisher in the world today and podcast.
All right.
It's true.
It's true.
Oh, it's damn true.
It's damn true.
Speaking of that, what a weekend we had.
Yes. What a great weekend.
Saw lots of people.
I talked about it a little bit on live with Instagram yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it was fun. And then there was a couple of people that jumped on the Instagram stream who were there.
Oh, cool.
A couple of the fans jumped on, which was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was like, it was a borderline. It wasn't like, but it was kind of borderline. It was something we haven't done in a while, like a little loop.
It was.
Because we flew into LaGuardia.
Yes.
And then drove 3 hours. Up to Seekonk, Massachusetts. Would you like to comment on the hotel?
It said Ramada.
It's a Ramada Inn.
But it felt like...
But a Ramada is like a budget hotel now. It's not... Nowadays, it's borderline more like a Red Roof, which is fine. I stayed in some very decent, nice Red Roofs.
It was funny because we pulled into the town and I said to you, I feel like we fell back into the 50s.
Right.
And you're like, this is a great town. Everything was very...
It was an old school town.
Old school town.
I think part of it is... Hold on. Let me just throw this out there before you move on next thought. And what I said to you was, we live now in a world, and where we live, it's all Walmarts, CVSs, Walgreens. Shiny, it's all new, yeah. It's all big commercial... mainstream, I don't know the word.
Commercialized.
Florida, yeah. You know, so it's all franchises, yeah. Olive Garden, stuff like that.
Yep.
It's not mom and pop shops. So when we pull into the town, we're going on the street. That. This was all mom and pop shops.
Tons of them.
So yes.
And it was a very cool town because it brought back, I don't know, I guess yesteryear. And needless to say, we pulled into the hotel and I think we both kind of looked at each other and went, oh boy.
Yes.
And then we walked into the lobby and it was another, oh boy, oh boy.
Especially since we had to wait like 25 minutes for someone to come help us.
Right. Instead with, of the boy and the dog staring.
I was going to say, with the dog who was yes. licking himself.
Yeah. So then we finally get our keys. And then we can't find the room. We found an elevator that was just big enough for me and you in the bags.
In the bags.
If another person had to get on, it wasn't happening.
It wasn't happening. If we had another bag, it wasn't happening.
It wasn't happening. So we went up to the second floor and still couldn't find our rooms.
Right.
It was broken up, and the guy's like, oh, no, you can't get to your rooms by using the elevator. You have to walk up these steps.
Well, the funniest side of that was we found out if we used the elevator, we could have walked up 4 steps to get to our room.
Yes.
But that's not the second floor then, is it? How do you get off of the second floor, walk up steps,
and then down,
and then get to your...
I swear to God, the hotel was haunted.
It was
50s personified.
If the hallways were a little bit longer, I would have heard Red Rum. Red Rum.
Yes.
Red Rum.
Yes.
And for those of you that don't know Red Rum, go watch The Shining.
Yes. It was very clean. I'll give them that. But it was there was nothing updated in that.
There was nothing updated. And my mattress wasn't even updated because my mattress sank like this. It was like a big U in the middle. It was like
sex that was had met.
Oh. So anyway, but at least it was clean.
Yeah.
So I wasn't worried about it because it was clean.
Even my lamps, where you had to go up inside the lamp and switch the little switch inside, very old school, had no charging plugs in it. And
see, mine at least had that. And I actually had an additional dresser in my room.
Really?
There was a whole other dresser there on the side. Yeah. I mean, not the one on your TV. There's one on the side of the bed.
Really?
You didn't have one on your wall there. Yeah. You didn't have one on the wall there. Why don't you just move it closer and make that shorter? Make that shorter and then pull it closer.
Okay.
No, that
one. This one. Technical difficulties.
What's your name? That's
what she said.
I just pull the whole thing closer. Kind of like mine.
All right. Better.
There you go.
All right.
All right. You're still getting volume over there. All
right. Yes.
Yeah. So the hotel was interesting.
It was interesting. It wasn't the worst we've stayed in.
Oh, I've stayed in a lot bigger shitholes.
But it's far from a good one. But with that being said, everything from the weekend, from the start, from the New England Fan Fest to the matches that night, was really good.
I talked about it a little bit on the Instagram Live yesterday. And one of the things I mentioned was when we got to Blitzkrieg Pro, which was because what happened was is we did the convention, which was like 6 hours, which was amazing. And I put over that I got my demolition sign and my Powers of Pain sign and all those signs.
I love people that we used to idol that we can call friends.
Yeah. So then we drove 2 hours to Westfield, Massachusetts.
Yep.
And then Blitzkrieg Pro. And one of the things I loved about it, I thought the promotion was is one of the better ran promotions we've done in a long time. I thought Jeremy was amazing.
Yes.
Jeremy did it.
The promoter.
Jeremy, the promoter, did a great job. It was one of those situations where he texted us because he knew we were then driving back to LaGuardia, which was another 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because we did the K&S appearance on Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Yes. So the promoter was great because he was like, I'm putting you guys right before intermission. And then you guys go intermission, sell your gimmicks, and then you please leave. Like, yeah, it wasn't like if you want to leave, it was like, no, please leave.
Yeah.
Which was great. So we walked in and said hi to everybody. He paid us
right away before the match,
paid us. And then, then we did a thing.
And then we found out he was actually in the match.
He was in the match with us, yes.
So with him paying us beforehand was better for us.
Right. Especially when we did the double titty twisters on him.
Yes, we did.
So not only did we do the double titty twister on him, because with my arm, I'm kind of limited, but left arm, I can do a good old titty twister.
Good one.
Then we pulled him out to the crowd
yes.
and got the girl in the crowd to give him the double titty twister yes. as well.
Heard she was tight.
Oh. Okay. I don't know where you heard that from, but okay. So that was all good. That was good stuff. And then obviously K&S was always, it's always fun.
You know, we got to see Kurt was there.
Yeah.
Jerry, the King Lawler. We saw a lot of people, you know, Hacksaw. We saw him.
Yeah, I talked about that. So one of the cool things for me, and I got to share this with Hacksaw, was, and I showed the video and everything yesterday. Yeah. One of the cool things is growing up, I don't know, I was 14 or 15, Mike and I would go to the Spectrum to watch WWF. And we made these, took cardboard and made these fake 2x4s.
It's pretty clever.
And wrapped like that contact paper around it that looked like wood.
Yeah.
And we wrapped it around it. And all Mike and I always wanted to do, because how they taped Prism and then they would play it a week later, was to get on TV.
Yeah.
So we were like, this could be it. So we're on the aisle. We're on the rail. Hacksaw comes down. Hacksaw holds up. So we're holding up ours and we're all, and he looks at us and we all look at the camera together. And we're going, into the camera. And then Mike and I at the same time drop our 2x4s and start giving the middle finger to the camera. And then the camera pans away.
So of course it does.
So the cool part on Saturday was all the times we saw Hacksaw, I finally had the chance to sit down and share this story with him. And he looks at us. He's like, so you stole all my heat. Yeah, you're like a 15-year-old stealing heat. You stole all my shine.
All of it.
You stole all of it. And I was like, yeah, sorry. Like, sorry, not sorry. But, hey, can we do a quick hoe? So I got a video of us hoeing.
But it's still so cool for, like, today, how we are today, to go back and tell these guys these stories. You know, I shared one with Dan Spivey during WrestleMania. You know, you with this one. It's just really cool, and all the demolition stories that we tell them and stuff like that.
I think the coolest part about it is how it all kind of comes around, because now we have this generation of wrestlers coming up saying that stuff to us, fans coming up saying that stuff to us. And I think that's probably why I guess I'm choosing to share the stories more with them.
Yeah.
Because it's just lets the connection there. I just want to share it just to share it, because I mean, everyone's older, who knows what's going to happen.
And it's so funny. It's not like they remember.
No.
They don't remember the stories, but knowing to share them with it and stuff like that, they can understand.
It was like you saying to Terry Taylor, remember when I wrestled Terry? He's like, no.
No.
No, I don't remember.
No.
It's like fans come up to us. Hey, do you remember? We're like, no, I don't remember.
It was at the Spectrum, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so let's get off of that top. Let's get right into something that's been in the news that I've been talking about. I don't know if you have it on your list, the releases.
Yes.
Is that on your list?
It is.
How about that?
Is
that next on the list?
It's actually that's pretty much all I have on here is the releases and the talent. So WWE's released like 30 people now.
Yep. I think the total count's like 48 or 42 or something.
I don't know. Let me rephrase it. TKO has released a bunch of people.
Yes. But it always happens this time of the year.
It does.
It does.
But this time's a little bit different. I think the part that makes a little bit different is they did the mass release. I've heard, and again, I don't know how true this is or not, because, you know, internet's internet. Just because it's on Facebook doesn't mean it's true.
Facebook doesn't mean fact.
You know, like the Wyatt Six.
Yeah.
Aleister Black.
Yeah.
I heard that they were let go because TKO didn't like the creepy side of them.
I heard that too.
Didn't like the creepy side of them.
I heard that too.
Which is
weird
and dumb. So you would have released The Undertaker back in the day?
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
It just, I didn't understand that either. And then I also heard that they were trying to gear to a younger age. But isn't that age discrimination? If they go and release people because of their age?
No, I think the age thing, maybe they're trying to hit a another demographic to watch.
Could be.
Because there's people there that are a lot older than some of those. Some of those guys are still young.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And then I heard that they also asked a lot of top people for a 50% pay cut.
Well, no, hold on. Nope. Not top guys. It's not the top guys because they're not going to do it.
Right.
You know, Orton.
No.
Seth Rollins. Yeah, they're not going to do it. They're not going to ask the bottom guys. It's the upper mid-card guys. But I see both sides there. Okay. I had that listed down too. So we jumped ahead of the other stuff, but that's fine. We're here. So when you have a contract, I feel the contract should be honored, first of all. That's one thing.
Yep.
The other side of it is, if you look at professional athletes, the team will go to them and say, can we, like, I think Lamar Jackson's in this situation right now. They want Lamar Jackson to restructure his contract. So right now he takes less money, but over the long haul, it ends up being the same how it works.
Right. With signing bonuses.
That side of it as well. I could see Tico going, listen, you know, we're kind of in this, you know, we're cutting, blah, blah, blah. But the other side of it now I'm looking at the TKO business side of it. So I'll use the New Day as an example.
Okay.
I don't know.
Love them, by the way.
They're amazing. I don't know the exact numbers. Here's the numbers I'm just going to use because I've seen so many numbers thrown out there.
This is an example.
I'm going to use a 3-year deal worth $1.5 million.
Okay.
That's $500 a year. When they signed that a year ago or 2 years ago, whenever it was, they were working 4 or 5 nights a week.
Different.
Working four or five nights a week. Now they're working once, maybe
4 or 5 times a month.
Maybe once or twice a week.
Right.
So I see the side of TKO going, hey, you were doing this. This is that contract now, but this is a different contract now for them to try to do the budget cuts.
Right.
And from what I've heard or read on the internet, they were the only two that were like, no, because they did that to like 6 of them, from what I understand.
Right.
And I don't know the other guys, but 4 of them were like, yeah, okay. But, you know, it is what it is.
True.
TKOs, you know, they're going to run things how they feel it needs to be run. And they're going to say to Triple H, listen, these are the guys you have, make it work.
Yeah.
Unless someone comes in and does a different buyout, or, you know, they get bought out somehow.
I have it deep in my bones. I feel Vince is going to buy it back.
Hmm.
How would people feel about that? Would now he restructure everything?
What do you mean restructure?
Would he take over? Of course he would. We know that answer. Creative and stuff like that. Would the product, and I also heard he's going to go in with the Pakistans or whoever.
Saudi Arabia.
To buy it back. And he's not going to make it public. He's going to keep it private. Because that changes the whole ballgame.
That changes everything.
100. Well, but, we know we lived it.
But
with the attitude error. I'm telling you, how big of a pop would that be? Seeing him come down.
Yeah, but here's the other side of it. How many of the guys in the back would leave?
I don't know. Would they?
Vince, I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
With what you're saying, if Vince,
it's a hot topic.
You let me finish my thought.
Yeah. I'm just adding spice.
Well, there's no spice because I can't fucking talk. If Vince is Triple H's father-in-law.
Yeah.
So if Vince came back, Hunter's been running everything.
Yeah.
Is he going to say to Hunter, I'm taking over. You don't have creative 100%. Control. So what does Hunter do? Okay.
He does what he did before. He has input.
Yeah. But do you think he would do that? Or do you think he'd be like, you know what? Because the storylines have been great.
I
realize now people have been shitting on it a little bit lately. You know, they shit a little bit on WrestleMania and, you know, the talk of WrestleMania of night one being bad and night two being so great. But the other side of that is, if night one was better, would have night two been so great?
Mm. Mm.
But that's a different conversation. WrestleMania is over, so it is what it is. I don't know. Is Vince too old?
It's borderline too.
I mean, is Vince too old, but does Vince guy
actually walk away from his legacy like Vince did, or does he come back, buy it back, and leave the way he wants?
But how old is he now? 80 something? I don't know.
But I mean, you know him as well as I do. I don't see him leaving like that. That's not.
But how much is left
in his tank?
In his brain, even. I mean, like, I just pure speculation. Yes, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that he's older, energy wise. You know, energy wise, he goes down. Like, does he have the energy? Does he have the brain power to keep coming up with all these creative ideas? That's a totally different thing.
I would love to see. But then if not, he has Hunter there.
Well, I mean, if he bought it back and just said to Triple H, hey, just keep doing what you're doing.
I'm just going to throw my
That's a different story.
I don't know. I just see it. For some reason, I see it happening. And
I don't know what it sold as. I don't know how much it sold for.
I heard $9 billion.
So where do you get $9 billion or $12 billion to buy back? Because he's not getting it for that. And the reason I say that is the company I work for, we did a merger with a company called Sycamore Group, which is a private equity group. And then they wanted to buy themselves back. But over the years, the equity of the company went up, the value went up so much more, they couldn't afford to buy it all back.
See, I think with the budget cuts and everything else, it shows a loss. Because they have to recruit some kind of money. So they're cutting these superstars, cut them out, asking them for pay cuts for a longer period of time, blah, 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 whatever. So I think the value of the company is not $9 billion anymore. I think it's like five or six.
With all the money they're getting from TV money, from the TV deals, sure, that makes that jacks the
ESPN.
Jacks the value of the company up.
Yeah.
That's why, like, one of the things with, I know you even said it with WrestleMania, is those matches of WrestleMania that they put on ESPN. They're like pre-matches. No, it's WrestleMania matches. They're just airing them on ESPN, part of the ESPN package, kind of like Backlash this weekend, which we'll get to. I don't know. I don't see it happening like that. I don't see Vince coming back and buying it. I just don't.
I wanted to see him walk down WrestleMania weekend.
He's going to walk down and try and do that, and he's going to pop a hip. He's going to fall down and roll down a ramp.
Oh, man. But how many people out there would actually welcome him back after everything?
I don't know, because
you know, what kind of response would
he's get? Got a negative connotation over his head because of all the lawsuits and harassment stuff, the accusations, all that stuff. Yes. So how much would it be? Because we're in such a politically correct world right now that...
True. But a lot of people see it as accusations and nothing's proven. He hasn't been convicted of anything.
You're right. But
anything.
Correct. 100%. But in today's society, you're still guilty after you're proven innocent. As long as you're charged with something, you're considered guilty forever.
That's true.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, but you know, I just think the guys that have been cut, it gives them an opportunity to now recreate themselves.
We're looking for a fresh start.
Recreate yourself. Yeah. Figure out if you know you want to be in wrestling or not. It's the opportunity. Yeah. Change equals growth, which equals opportunity. So now they have the opportunity to, you know, I did a thing with BJ Ray the other day, and I said the same thing to him. I go, dude, you now have no restrictions. You have nothing holding you back. You can do whatever you want. Like, look at Cardona.
Yeah.
You know, what Matt did to himself. And then, you know, you have Cody and Matt Hardy who constantly reinvented themselves. Yeah. So it's an opportunity for them to grow and figure it out.
And it's funny too, because I had a chance to meet BJ this past WrestleMania weekend and stuff like that. And I thought he was very humble, not what you would imagine on TV or saw on TV. And I even told him, I said, dude, I said, you were one of the reasons why I watched LFG. I said, because you were just so, you were the heel. He goes, that's what they wanted me to do. So a lot of people don't separate TV from reality.
It's
super nice guy.
It's a character.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, he has his, you know, he's Braden, which is his real name.
Yeah.
And then he's sexy BJ Ray. It's like, you know, you got Chaz, you got Glenn, you got Mosh, you got Thrasher. Mosh and Thrasher are different from Chaz. Well, I don't know if Glenn and Thrasher are really different, but Chaz and Mosh, Chaz and Mosh, are, you know, it's two different people. Like the face paint goes on and, you know, it's crazy.
It takes away all filters.
Right. You know, you go out there and you can be silly. Like I got an email yesterday. We did an interview with this guy, Solo Monster, I think his name is what it said. It was in 2017 at WrestleCon, which I think it was in Orlando. And we were doing the normal stuff we do. He had the hair on his side. Like, we're picking it off. Yeah. Like, you know, we're getting there. Like, we're goofing during the whole, we're answering his questions, but we're goofing on him. We're goofing on everyone around all at the same time. And the guy's like, oh, I saw that and I lost all disrespect for you. I'm like, hey, do you not know who the headbanger, the characters are? Like, that's what we do. That's what, go back and look at every podcast of somebody coming up to us at a convention like that. What do? That's what we do.
That's it.
Like, that's called a character. Yeah. Like, Chaz isn't going to do that. Glenn will, but Chaz isn't going to do that. But I'm just saying, it's like the BJ thing gets lost in the shuffle of, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, like you told me before, he's a super nice guy, very down to earth, and 100% exactly that. Down to earth, you know, very respectful.
Yeah.
Just I thought was a good guy. So,
yeah,
you know, I hope, you know, he does reinvent himself and succeeds and stuff like that. Cause I think,
listen, he's phenomenal. He's got a marketing background. His family's got a marketing background. Everything he's doing is calculated. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. The only part that stinks is, from what I've told, I don't know if it's 100% true or not, to mess up some spots on LFG in the show. Cause he can work.
Yeah.
So, you know, you hope other companies don't look at that and go, oh, I saw the matches on LFG. Yeah. He's not that good. He's not ready yet.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't think he's ready, bring him in for a tryout, give him a couple matches and see.
Yeah.
And check it out, because he's a good guy. He wants to learn. He wants to get better. And he's actually been, you know, the way LFG started, it makes it look like they all just started. But he's been around for like 3 years. He was at the PC for 3 years.
I did not know that either.
But yeah, so for everyone, you know, that got released, it's all about opportunity. Now you can go recreate yourself, figure out who you are, or figure out this is business isn't for me. I want to do something totally different. But now you have a little bit of notoriety. You use that to your favor to go and get.
And it's weird too, because I saw a couple of them have already started the rebranding and the new names and stuff like that, which I think is awesome. Don't wait. You know, you have your 60, 90 day non-complete calls.
Non-compete. Well, I think the NXT kids, theirs is only 30. I think main roster is 90.
Okay. I think. So you have time to, you know, evaluate, come up with a game plan, start putting it in motion.
But meanwhile, you start using social media to get yourself over as far as, you know, interviews, and you start doing the podcasts and things like that. So if any of you want to be on the podcast, you know, let us know. It'd be great to have you on.
Yeah. That would be cool if we start having a guest.
Yeah, we could figure that out.
Besides Amber.
She's quiet today so far. Yeah, she is. So, you know, I guess, you know, going back to the pay cuts, I'm all about everyone getting their money. And again, if you have a contract, 100%. But, you know, renegotiation isn't the worst thing in the world, because if you break down, let's stay with them at 500 grand a year, say, I don't know if they were doing 20 shows a month, whatever that math is per show, but now you break down, okay, they're only doing two. Maybe they wanted to cut them in half to 250.
Right.
And again, everyone get whatever money you can. I don't care what industry, and if it's sports, if it's, you know, you're a fucking CPA accountant, get whatever you can get. I'm all about it.
Right.
But at the same time, I see the business side of it going, well, you're not doing, it's kind of like me in sales. Well, if I have a rep whose sales drop, I'm like, I'm not going to pay you more because your sales drop. I'm going to pay you what's equivalent to what your salary, what you're doing, your sales wise. It's kind of, I see that side of it.
I never looked at it that way with the wrestling and dates and stuff like that. Yeah, if they're doing half the dates as they were 2 years ago, I mean, it's kind of, it's business.
Right. But I see the personal side of it going, well, I thought I was making 500 grand a year. Now you're cutting this, like that cuts into my quality of life or lifestyle that I'm used to. But you know what? Those two are going to get booked. They're going to make money, and they're going to be like the Hardys now. Wherever they go, they're going to have a ginormous line. People are going to want to take pictures with them. Everyone's going to want to book them. I hope they don't just jump to like AEW or something. I'm hoping they kind of go the route of
a little bit of,
do the route of like Matt and Jeff and Matt Cardona going, let's just do the indies.
Yeah.
Let's do all these appearances. Cause you see, even Matt and Jeff WrestleCon and stuff, when we see them, the line, they're there for like 4 or 5 hours and they stay afterwards when, cause they still have people there. They don't tell people no.
It would be nice too, because then they could go to different parts of the country where they haven't been and seen fans that they haven't seen before and stuff like so, like the big shows and stuff like that, where you know sometimes it's top dollar to get to. I think that would be cool to
I hope they do the indies. It'd be cool. You know, SummerSlam's coming up. We'll be at WrestleCon for SummerSlam. It'd be cool if they were there.
Yeah.
Hell, maybe now we can have the match.
We could.
So for you know, for those of you watching and listening, it was, I don't know, a year and a half ago.
We went
or
down,
something. Yeah. We went down. They were down in Sunrise, and we went, and we ran into Xavier, and he like freaked out, and we were like, "Whoa!" We're
like freaked out to the point where like, I was taken back.
Yeah, like freaked out. Like, holy shit! It's the Headbangers. Oh my god! And we were like, "Hey, you know what's going on?" And he's like, he's like, "You guys have no idea." He goes, "I grew up watching wrestling." He goes, "I'm a huge fan of wrestling." He said, "But when you guys won the tag team titles at Ground Zero in September of 1997, he knew all of it.
Everything,
he said, when you guys went into the crowd and then they showed you guys at the concession stand eating hot dogs and soda with the fans, he goes, right then and there, I said, I want to be a tag team. He goes, it was that match, you guys doing it.
That moment.
He goes, it was that moment that made me want to be a tag team. And we're like, really? Like, and then he was like, and then remember Bruce came up and that's when Kofi came over. So we were all kind of talking and we kind of started joking around. It was right before Survivor Series. We're like, hey, we should all be in a Survivor Series match together or work against, somehow work against one. So maybe now we can do that. We can do that.
Xavier.
We're winding down. So this would be a fun way to go out.
It would be a dream match for us.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach out to
him. Hey, there's Amber. Leg licker.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be.
So did you anything you want to talk about on Raw? I kind of fast forwarded it. The one thing I do want to mention on Raw, I saw the Sol Ruka going out.
Yeah.
Signing her, and I thought this segment was great too. Sol Ruka goes out to sign her gimmick.
Yep.
She's saying her stuff, whatever she would say. And then here comes Becky's music. This is what I love about Becky.
Love the stuff they're doing with Becky right now.
Yeah, Becky comes down, walks right past Sol Ruka as if she's not even there and just starts talking to Adam Pearce about needing her time, about this, whatever the hell it was. And Sol's like, excuse me, I'm right here. Like, hello, this is my segment, this is my time. And she's like, who are you? And like, what are you doing here? Like, I like how she blew her off as if, like, it's my turn. I don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
And then they got into that little confrontation. And here's what I want to talk about. I cannot stand, we've had this conversation, I cannot stand the word botch.
Me either.
When Sol's foot slipped off the rope, it slipped off the rope. It's a mistake. But what did she do? She stopped herself and jumped up and hit it again.
Covered it.
But the internet and the fans were like, oh my god, look at Sol botched it. And then they Becky, we can talk about that in a second. So they were like, oh, you know, Becky took a bad bump because of it, but Becky's bump was perfectly fine. People have taken that move. I've seen Sol give that move 100 times and it's taken 100 different ways because it depends on how you feel in the moment, where you're at, the positioning you take it. But then they were like, oh, well, WWE edited out. Who cares if they edited it out? They did. If you watch the replay, it's not there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Supposedly it's not there. But the thing is, her foot slipped. This is not a movie set or a TV show where you can go cut. Let's do it again.
Yeah, no,
it's live. Shit happens when it's live. But she slipped. She jumped up and she hit it, and you moved on. Things happen.
And to be the professional enough to cover it and know what to do when something like that, a mistake happens, shows her maturity in the business.
I just hate the word
botched. Yeah, me too.
Because it's what's botched about it? A mistake happened? Like,
we don't come to McDonald's and say, oh, look, you botched that flip. My burger's on the floor.
No, you know what I'm going to start doing?
Going to McDonald's?
No, I can't go to McDonald's. Oh, my God, I would shit for a week if I went to McDonald's. I mean, a Big Mac's pretty good. No, next time I order food and it's wrong, I'll be like, you botched my meal.
Yeah, goddamn it.
You botched my meal. You botched my meal. Get the fuck out of here. Wait, I'm ready on the internet. I'm going to write, I went to Denny's and they botched my meal. I got a cup of coffee with lipstick on it. They botched my coffee. Yeah. You make a mistake. Like, it happens. If you drop someone's package, like, fuck, I botched a delivery.
That's right. I botched it.
Right. I hate that word. Mistakes happen and accidents happen, but botched is not good. And Obis wasn't a botch either.
I don't think so either.
Well, you know what?
Dog at him.
Well, did you see the Braun Strowman thing?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Listen, I like Braun. But you're trying to jump in and interject yourself.
But how awesome would that be to bring Braun back?
It would be.
That would be an awesome match.
It would be.
I'd pop for Otis.
But I'm just saying, don't go out there and go, oh, look, Otis is light as a feather. Look, I got him up. Look what I did. It's different. Every
scenario is different.
Yeah. And the way he got him up for a powerbomb was different than what Oba was doing.
Yeah.
They weren't the same thing. Yeah, they were two totally different moves.
Yeah. But he got him up for the side slam.
He launched him.
Perfectly fine. But I don't know. I mean, when Ozawa came out and was gonna have the match with him and then walked up to him and went, holy shit. And looked up. And then Otis came. Did you hear the crowd? Got behind it. Loved it. I'm an Otis fan. I like Otis.
He's like a cannonball, like a bowling ball. Yeah.
Like he just, and seeing him run, it's like watching.
He does his character very well.
Yes. It's so good. And I popped. I enjoyed the match. I thought it was,
it was fine.
It was what it was. Yeah.
The point of the match, the whole story of the segment, I'm going to do the whole segment, got over with what the hell is their names? The team name for Otis and them and Otis Maxine and
Ozawa,
like the American Babes or something, aren't they?
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, they got that over with the skinny kid coming in saying I'm out, and then Otis coming in, and then the match was the match and got it over. But again, it's not a botch, like a hand slipped, like big deal. Yeah. And then Braun, again, your powerbomb was way different than the Fall of Grace, the way he went into it.
Yeah.
So, Otis went up. There's momentum there. When you're just on the ropes, it's different.
It's different.
There's
no jumping when you're on that
rope. Yeah, yeah, it's just way different. I just don't like – I guess my point of that is I hate when everyone starts chiming in on, oh, botch, this happened, that happened. Oh,
like, trying to be a critic about something that you've never done.
Right, and you're not
How do you do that?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, Braun's done it, but still,
that's all about him.
Like you're interjecting yourself to try and get yourself over now at someone else's expense.
Those two things with Braun and Obas are two totally different ways to going into the same move.
Yes.
So yeah, he might have been a little bit easier to get up for Braun than dead weighting out of a corner.
Right.
Two totally different things. I understand Braun's trying to get some shine.
I get it.
I love it.
I'm not opposed to it. I've done the same thing with it.
Nothing bad with some chatter.
Every time Danhausen posts something on Twitter about needing a partner, I keep telling him I'm available.
Oh, that's and so
I
keep. Funny.
I told him I'd give him $399 human dollars and a signed copy of my book.
Well, you could go to Beaver Cleavage.
I told him I would do it.
Danhausen and Beaver Cleavage.
Okay.
Beaverhausen. That's there.
All right, I'll take Beaverhausen.
Out the little hat, the little propellers.
The little propellers. Just
propel yourself to the ring.
We can flip it around, and wherever it stops, that you are cursed.
That's right.
It's the propeller curse him stops.
Over there. And that one, the beds. So I'm looking forward to see who that partner is for Danhausen and.
I was listening to I think it was Busted Open, and actually it was kind of funny. I don't know if it was Busted Open or for Sam Ross. I don't know. It was one of those. And they were like, this is going to be Danhausen's way to get Cena to come out of retirement. Because Cena's supposed to be there. But here's the funny part. Cena comes out. Like, Cena's dressed. Like, I don't know. Cena's doing something. And Danhausen comes out and tries to coax him into it. But then he starts cursing everybody. And then the match happens. Cena's in the ring, dresses clothes. Doesn't do anything, but now he's in the match doing nothing, but Danhausen still goes over. But Cena's considered his tag partner, but he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He's just standing there. It's just like, what do you mean? I'm like,
curse Cena into doing it.
Right.
Interesting.
That would be funny.
Now, that happens.
That would be funny. Listen, that would be crazy. Danhausen's a character.
Yes.
Love it.
I think it's great. I think it's good TV. Yeah. It makes me chuckle. It makes everybody laugh.
It makes everyone laugh.
I'm most excited to see is Rollins and Braun Breaker. I think their storyline has gotten so good. Even with the Vision and Logan Paul and his partner being the tag champs. And I'm excited about the other guys that they're into with right now. What are their names?
Street Profits.
Yeah, Street Profits. Love the fact that they're back and seeing them go right after the tag. I like that whole little story angle.
Well, what I liked about it, it now gave the Usos a reason to go away and work with Roman.
Yeah.
When they came in. Because they got the two of them beating up someone, and they needed someone to make a save. So it was the Street Profits coming back and doing that. But yeah, Seth and Braun's going to be a great match. And it's going to be on ESPN, too, before. So it'll be opening match for that, which is great for ESPN because it's going to draw everyone in, which is ideas, again, to get people to subscribe after that. But, no, it'll be good. That'll be.
Yeah. I'm torn about it because I would have liked to see that in the, I don't want to say main show, but on the app side.
Why? What's the difference?
Because it's going to be that good. Who's going to follow that?
Whoever's following, you get to step up. That's one of those things. Shawn Michaels gets in the back, goes, good luck following that kid.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Everyone's got to step up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
But, I mean, it's strategic to put it there, just like it was strategic having Oba and Brock on the opening for WrestleMania to have it the free. That's good for ESPN because it gets people to watch ESPN. And then hopefully from there, people subscribe to the ESPN Plus to watch the rest of it.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see that match, how it unfolds and comes out. I mean,
and Heyman's been
quiet,
not around.
Yeah, quiet.
Yeah, he hasn't really been around or talking much.
Yeah. So, how do you feel about the heavyweight championship with
Roman and Fatu?
And Roman.
I think Roman goes over, I'm interested to see what happens to Fatu afterwards. I see him. Here's what's funny. On Raw the other night, Fatu starts laying out Roman, and the Fatu chant starts going through the arena.
Yes.
So, the like, does Solo now come over and get involved? Because what I'm liking about it right now is, obviously, you're never going to recreate that. And we've said it before. Like, I don't really remember. I didn't watch much back then of that. So as great as I heard that whole storyline was in those years, I didn't see it. So I like how Roman's got like the Usos behind him, but the Usos aren't always up his ass following him around. Like he's going out and doing his own thing. But yeah, I'm just curious to see like what does Fatu do if he doesn't win? Like, does he just freak out? Because his whole thing is, you know, I need this. Yeah. I need this to take care of my family. Like everything you have, I want. You have everything I want. And while you were doing all this, I was sitting out there grinding, starving. And then Roman's excuse of, well, I was watching you. Well, motherfucker, we're family. Here. Why weren't you helping me?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I like the way they're spinning it.
Because the way how they spun it on Monday night at the end with the contract signing when, you know, Fatu was like, I need to take care of my family, feed my six kids. He goes, you need to
seven.
You need to feed your kids, but I'm feeding 107 people's kids.
Right.
He goes, you said, you know, what's his name brought you in? Solo brought you in. I brought Solo in, so I brought you in.
Right.
So it was just so, you know.
And I like how Roman's dropping trigger words, and which is setting and it's like he says one thing, and that's what sets Fatu off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's going to be a good match. I do like, and again, I didn't watch it all, so I don't know if this is kind of a new Roman personality character that he's doing, but just kind of sitting back on, listen, I'm the shit. You're not. Like, I rule this fucking place. It you don't. And if you don't like it, then too bad, get out. Because I know before he had Heyman with him, so I don't know how much Paul was talking compared to him. Because again, I didn't watch it then, so I don't know.
It's similar to the first character with the tribal chief, but a little different. Like they used to boo him when he did that acknowledge me thing. Now they go crazy for it.
Well, he's so babyface, but if he turns heel somehow, they'll boo him again.
I just like it. I'm enjoying that little part of the storyline and stuff like that with the families and it. But can we stop with best friends and families and stuff like that? Enough?
What do you mean best friends and families? You know,
best friends turn on best friends, families turn on family.
Who's best friends turn on best friends?
We got, you know, Io Sky and
Asuka.
Asuka.
They've been enemies for a while.
But they were best friends. That was
ages ago.
That was her mentor.
It was ages ago.
It's there.
That was it.
Cody and
they did Asuka. They did the Orton. They did the face off with Asuka and Io, but they did it a pre-tape.
Saw it.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they didn't want the Kari chance for the one girl they let go that was Asuka's partner. Oh. If they would have did that in the arena, those chants would have been loud. Because they let her go in the middle of the whole storyline. Yeah.
Huh.
What I'm waiting for.
I never thought of that.
What I'm waiting for.
I thought it was weird, though. It was in a dark room.
Yeah. I'm waiting for somehow for Io to end up back on SmackDown to go after Rhea. Rhea's never beaten Io.
Really?
Rhea's never beaten Io. Mm.
That's an interesting tidbit of information.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. So one thing I wanted to put on here, I saw Mark Morrow did interview with Chris Van Vliet.
Yeah.
And the clip I saw, I didn't know. It caught me off guard. Okay. So I thought it was cool.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little bit, it's a story of how he got into WWF back in the day and how Sable got there.
Oh, yeah. I've heard the story.
What's the story?
Go ahead.
What's the story? If you've heard it, what's the story?
About him saying to Vince that she needs to travel with him.
Yeah, so part of the deal was he had, I guess the first time his contract came up with WCW, he had a guarantee and a signing bonus, and he met with Vince, and Vince said, I don't do guarantees. Yeah. So Mark walked. He said, all right, well, I'm saying it. And then next time it was come up, Vince was like, what's it going to take? He's like, well, again, I have a guarantee and I have a signing bonus. He goes, and Vince goes, all right, I'll do both. He goes, I just got married. I've seen a lot of divorces. I want my wife to travel with me wherever I go.
Yep.
And then Vince said, okay. So Vince agreed. And then Vince sent him a ticket to come up and sign the agreement.
Sign the agreement.
And there was only one ticket. And Mark was called up Vince. He goes, there's only one ticket. And he's like, you need here for a signing bone to sign the contract? And Mark's like, yeah, that was the deal. Vince sent him a ticket. So then she walks in and Vince was like, because Mark's pitch to him, like, well, she's going to be here all the time and you're paying her travel. Like, she can be my valet. Mark pitched that to him. And Vince was like, no, we don't want that. Then Vince saw her and was like, oh, we need to put her on TV.
Yeah, we want that right there. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And then Mark got into it more by saying he was getting ready to go into a program with Stone Cold.
Yeah.
But then he was in the angle with Sable, and then Sable gave him the Sable bomb. And then Steve saw that, and Steve was like, yeah, I can't work him now because a girl just gave him a powerbomb. Yeah. That's like not. And Mark's thing was, and Chris said to him, he goes, well, how'd you feel about that? Steve couldn't have. He goes, I didn't care. He goes, because every time I did something for Sable, she got higher and higher and higher and higher, and her paychecks and her royalties were getting higher and higher. He goes, and I was still making more money anyway. So it didn't really matter.
Right.
Like, I thought it was, I just never heard that part of it. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. I heard the story about how Sable came in and stuff like that before. And it's just, you know, we saw him Saturday morning and stuff like that, and it was good to see him. And that story with Sable was crazy.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
No.
That's all I had.
Me too.
All right. So, so that's it. And do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it.
Next week, we're going to have a review of our weekend. Oh, wait.
We don't have anything this weekend.
Never mind.